Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I said this morning, I was mentioning to Mrs. Smith, I said this morning I feel like just coming in and asking, you know, what would y'all like to talk about today?
He's going to stay up here. Something turned the air off back there. He's going to stay up here, right?
Yeah, is it staying up?
Yes.
Okay. Tamia, let's go back and turn the air off. Do you know how to do that?
No, that's okay. Can you show me out, please? So I'll ask the questions. Anything anybody wants to talk about this morning? If not, then I'll go ahead and run someplace else. All right.
Bishop, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm doing much better, but my dad is in the hospital, you know, with lots of, blood clot in his lungs, blood clot at the beginning of his heart, and they said he had a few minor strokes.
Goodness, when did they do this?
They did the MRI yesterday.
Okay, when did he go to the hospital?
He went to the hospital on, I believe it was Friday.
Okay. All right, we'll just have to keep him in prayer.
Thank you, Bishop. Mm-hmm. His name is George.
All right, Lord, please remember George. Stretch forth your hand towards him and touch him in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All right. What is your question?
Can you please explain what the Bible is talking about when it's talking about the day of the Lord specifically? Because
As in what scripture? As in Peter, as in Mark?
Are they all the same? That's my question. Are they all talking about the same thing? Are they talking about when Jesus comes and takes over? When Jesus comes to reign? Are they talking about the rapture?
To be honest with you, I think it's
both.
It's when the Lord's moving. And in Peter, I think when it talks about, I know when it talks about the day of the Lord in almost all of them, and I said that as soon as I said that, it's more so referring to the second advent and the beginning of the, when Jesus comes to begin the second advent. And let's look at one. I know there's one in Peter. Peter talks about it, and also I think in Mark he talks about it as well. So I was just reading it in Peter. Her question was talking about, what are they talking about when they talk about the day of the Lord? When Peter and all of them refer to the day of the Lord, and Ezekiel and all of them, it has to be dealing with Christ is coming. One thing I'd like to say, too, about when you read Ezekiel, when I read Ezekiel and read all of those, and I read, can everybody hear me all right? Elder Rogers, can you hear me? No problem. One thing I'd like to say, too, about when we read Ezekiel and we read Isaiah and we read all of the Jeremiah and Zechariah and all of them, and even when Jesus talks about what's coming in Mark, I think is one of them, and in someplace else, and we talk about it, Thessalonians is another one. But especially when we look at the blessings on Israel in Ezekiel and what the Lord will do in the new earth. Because when he talks about Israel being, David being on the throne and Israel being raised up again and the temple being built and all that, he's referring to when Jesus comes in the second advent, he's referring to after the millennium and during and after the millennium, when God establishes his kingdom and his government on earth. This is what it's referring to. Directly, indirectly, as he talks about the blessings that all of that you see, how God will, like he says, I'll rebuild the waste, the old places, and build up generations and foundations and all those. Although he is referring to the end times and all those things can apply to us in the present day in our life. Because what God is planning to do, God will do now for us in us. Or what God has done in the past, God will do now in us and for us. So we are not misusing scripture when we read something in Malachi where he says, open the windows of heaven, I'll pour you out a blessing. Malachi is talking about bringing tithes into the storehouse. We can use that for now. Mm-hmm. And it's still appropriate because God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And when we read in Ezekiel and all those, and he goes through and he talks about the end times, about how Egypt, when he talks about Egypt and Assyria and all of them being destroyed, he's talking about them being destroyed during that time. He's also talking about them and they're being put down at the end of the earth, in the ends of the earth. So when he talks about what he's going to build, or when we look in Zechariah and he talks about the latter house shall be greater than the former, that we can apply to our lives now. Although he's referring directly to the temple that's in Israel and to setting it up and what's that going to be, both in Ezra's time, Zechariah's time, and in the end time. But when he talks about that, we can apply that to our lives, that when we're in God, the latter is better than the former. So we're able to, someone will say, well, he said that in the Old Testament, he's just talking about Israel. Everybody in whom the Holy Spirit dwells is a son of Abraham. Because Galatians says that. We are all of us in whom the Spirit dwells, we are partakers of Abraham's blessing. Through him all nations will be blessed. So I want to say that because we do preach in the Old Testament, and someone will say very quickly, you didn't you know that was for them in that day. There are some things that were for them in that day. I mean, railing for railing, burning for burning. Somebody burn down your house, you go burn them down. Y'all won't go to jail. Yeah, you will. You know, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Yeah, those things were in the law. But when it comes to the prophecies and the things that God would do during that time frame and that God will do, we can apply those today. When Ezekiel says, God said, and I search for a man to stand in the gap and to build a hedge, he's doing that now.
Yes.
And he was doing that then. Yeah. And the person that does that represents Christ, because that's what Christ has done. Yes. So did you find one that you wanted to look at? It shouldn't be hard. I was just reading that.
Because I was looking at Joel. Let me tell you my rabbit hole. I was reading it at about when when Jesus leaves, he ascends into heaven, and then I think Peter starts to preach. He's talking about that when Joel prophesied that the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. So of course I had to go back and read Joel, and then Joel was talking about the day of the Lord. So I was wondering you're saying he was referring to both the rapture and when just the day of the Lord in general.
No, I didn't say rapture. Okay. I said it was referring to the second advent.
Second advent, when Jesus comes.
When Jesus comes. Okay. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3, and it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it talks about when, and what it refers to is when God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it talks about when they move in great triumph, and when they move in, it's referring directly for when he comes back in the second advent and begins to newing of the earth, because the new renewing of the earth starts in the second, starts at the beginning of the second, second advent. Actually, starts at the rapture, but when he talks about this in Peter 1 and 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? This refers to the day of the Lord. Also in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2. But you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. All these are referring to tribulation times and referring to end times. And it's referring to, and then he goes so far on to say, the other thing I like about Thessalonians, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day shall not overtake you as a thief. We're expecting it. It's like I say to people now, which is disheartening to a lot of people, but it is true. When they talk about, oh, the election's coming, and Trump and Biden and this and all this, it doesn't matter. The earth is not going to improve.
No.
That's the bottom line.
No, it's not going to improve.
No.
It's like everything else in God. It's like us. If I get the flu, I might get over the flu, but I'm not less. My life hasn't been extended. You understand my point?
Yes.
I'm still dying.
Yes.
This mortal body is dying.
If
you cut your finger, okay, you can heal your finger, but it doesn't stop this mortal body from decaying. You're still aging. You're still getting older.
Yes.
You can't beat age.
Yes.
You might be better off at 90 mentally and physically than somebody else's mentally and physically, but you're going to get old. You're going to die. This body is going to die. It might die with its right mind or without. You might be 105 and still running Boston Marathon, but you're going to die.
You'll die, yes.
If Jesus doesn't come back soon enough, because this body is... The ravages of sin has this body decayed and decaying. So you might improve something over here, but you won't change the outcome for this mortal body. It's like this. Suppose you take, I give you an even better one. Everything that we take that they advertise on TV down for this body, I don't care what it is, like I take Repatha and different things. Every last one of them has side effects.
Yes.
So then, if the Supreme Court weighs in on this side, they disturb that side.
Yes.
And if you fight a war for Ukraine, you fight against Russia. And if you stand for Russia, you fight against Japan, and so forth and so on. No one can work all that out. And so it gets progressively worse.
Yes.
Right now, I have this choice. Me and one of my closest friends, Bishop Bruner, wrote Age of Ages. We are diametrically opposed when it comes to politics. Because for him, the biggest issue in politics, the two biggest issues in politics, is to make sure that you elect somebody, like you're electing Jesus, but you're not. Elect somebody who's going to be totally against abortion and who's going to be totally against the LGBTQPQRSZY.
We get
which all of us who are in Christ oppose.
Yes,
we do.
Yes,
but we oppose it from a point of view of it's contrary to God, it's ungodly, and so forth and so on. And what I know is you can't legislate sin.
Right. That's right.
So then, I stand in the position of all right. I'm against all that as hardly as you are. But you're not going to stop anybody from doing any of those.
No.
So then I need to at least elect somebody who's going to be in favor of hospital care, feeding the hungry, getting people out of the woods, because you're not, what you have is you have this hypocritical mask who mass of people who really don't care about anything. They're biggest sinners since plagues.
Yep.
They have hopped onto an agenda to mask their conservative agenda, which is all about them.
Yes.
And so I can say, well, for the sake of being against abortion, because, and for being against LGBTQRPRS, whatever,
why?
I can say, I'm standing with them because they're against all that. No, I know where I stand in God, and so does the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And I don't make, and I don't need to, I don't, you know, sin is sin. I'm voting, I vote for who's going to do, it's the thing that we always say, the lesser of two evils.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
In this case. I'm not going to vote with the people who are trying to prove that slavery wasn't bad.
No.
We ain't going there with you.
Bottom line.
I'm not gonna go there with you. You're not gonna compound a lie with a lie. It's bad enough you lie about the Native Americans.
Yes.
That's bad enough.
Yes.
And all liars shall have their place in the lake that burneth with fire.
That's right. Amen.
All liars. So I don't have to weigh in with and live with a liar absolute, because he lies about being in favor of not having abortions, when I know he's a liar, because people who, where he is, you couldn't care less. You know more women who've had abortions than Carter got liver pills. You probably got 10 abortions under your own belt.
Right.
Or cause women to have them.
Right.
But you're weighing in on whoever you can pull to your side to have your little niche of people who will elect you. So we split on that. The difference is that for me, it's all about God.
Yes, it's all about God.
I told someone just recently, we were talking about it. They're working on air conditioning. They were talking about, you know, got the movie that's out right now, talking about sex trafficking and all that. And I stood right down in his face and told him, hey, nobody can afford slaves except rich people. And I asked him, can you afford a slave? You know, you're talking about, you know, you got all these masks, all your little trailer people running in here talking about trafficking slaves and all, you know, all this kind of stuff because it fits your political agenda. But the same people that you elect, they're the only people who can afford them. If they stop buying them, you wouldn't have them.
That's right.
Because I can't afford them. Yes. And one of your favorite people went to jail for doing it and hung himself and did all that. And I'm not even sure he hung himself. You got enough money. Since your name is next to his, you know, enough money, you can get anybody killed.
Yeah, that's right.
People do it all the time.
All the time.
Here again, people with lots and lots of
money.
Yeah. So, and the other thing, he messed around and said, well, you know, the end times are coming, and I had to tell him, it's not going to get any better.
Yes.
Because the word of God says so. Not only that, it's going to get worse and worse. That's why you should really want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You really want your name written on high, so when the rapture comes, you get up out of here.
That's right. Yes.
Because it's not going to improve. So that's just doom and gloom. Exactly.
That's what it is.
Flesh and blood have not revealed that to you.
Yes.
That's all that's coming is doom and gloom. Says so right here. When you read... I was reading this morning Ezekiel. I kept wondering why all day long yesterday. The Lord said to me, read Ezekiel. I was in bed last night. I woke up at 3:30. Couldn't go back to sleep. The Bible said, read Ezekiel. And my mind was all over the place last night. Nothing troubling me. I must have relived my childhood. I went through my teen years. Just one of them days where you just got film rolling. I know it's an evil spirit, but, you know. And I got this one, so I read Ezekiel. And what did I turn to? I turned to the chapter where he's talking about how Ethiopia is going to fall, and Egypt is going to fall, and Syria is going to fall, and so forth and so on, and how they're not going to be able to help one another, and this and all. This is for his day, and this is also for the end times. And he's saying, and then he turns to Israel and says, you're going to fall too.
Yes.
Until I come in,
yes.
Talking about the day of the Lord.
Yes.
And pick you up again.
Yes, amen.
I know that's right. So I told him, something else you need to know. I told him, it doesn't matter who you vote for. Your vote is not going to stop the Antichrist from coming.
No, it's not.
You're not going to vote out the Antichrist.
Antichrist, no.
No, you're not.
No.
And you know, when Obama was elected, they started saying, he's the Antichrist. I said, if he is the Antichrist, ain't nothing you can do
about it. That's right.
You know, I said that then. You can go around and do the birthers, do whatever you want. If he is, and I knew he wasn't, but I'm saying, if he is the Antichrist, ain't nothing you can do about.
Right.
No one can stop it. Worse than that, you really want to know, although Trump's not smart enough to be Antichrist, but if you really want to know who about the Antichrist and him coming, and you want to look at yourself and what you're doing, the Antichrist is not going to be somebody that everybody hates. He's going to be somebody that everybody falls in love with.
That's right.
And everybody's going to come together and say,
that's
our name.
Yes.
Just like they're saying about him, he's a man of God.
Yes.
So it's not going to improve. But Jesus told him before he left. He says, the prince of this world, he says, but be of good cheer. Prince of this world coming. He had nothing in me.
Yes.
But be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. Let me find out real quick for you. Then I'm going back to 1 Thessalonians. Glad I have my handy iPad up here because it makes it so much easier to find stuff.
Matthew 9 and 2.
Matthew 9 and 2. I don't think that's it.
No, that's a different one. Hold on.
Yeah, I don't think that. It's way down. It's at the end of a chapter. Yeah, here it is. Well, John 14:39 says hereafter he's coming, and that's one too, but that's not the one I want. Yeah, that's the one I want.
16:33.
What?
John 16:33.
That's the one I want. 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. That's another thing I was reading in Ezekiel this morning too. I was reading Ezekiel was saying it again. I know he says the 18th chapter, but in the 32nd chapter, he says it even gooder. He made the point again. He says that when a watchman is watching, and if the enemy's coming, he sounds the alarm. And the people, that the people may be saved, he says he's done the will of God. If he sounds the alarm and the people don't want to do anything about it, not a problem. That's their problem. But if they're coming and he sees them coming and he doesn't tell the people they're coming, then their blood is required on his hands.
Yes.
Well, that tells me the preachers who don't preach and tell people that, you know, you need to be saved or going to hell.
Yes.
And people don't like it.
Yes, that's right.
But if you say you got a call to preach and you're letting people sit up there and you don't tell them, you know what? You're going to have to do something different. Mm-hmm. So remember, I mean, this is one of the greatest revelations I ever got when I found out that Jesus is all about change.
Yes.
I mean, from top to bottom, from the soles of your feet to the top of your head, from your inside, your outside, and all around about, being in God is changing this sinful, vile body.
That's
soul, and spirit into something that is fit for the master's use. He's all about change from top to bottom. God is all about change. You know, there's no need of coming to God ever with the mindset, I'm going to be saved, but I don't want to be changed. You're coming in the wrong building.
Yes.
Everything about me needs to be changed. There's not a piece on me that can't use some polishing, some buffing, some changing, some reshaping, some tweaking, some. There's nothing about me that doesn't need to be changed. And in the end, even this raggedy body, he's going to change
it. Yes.
And with it comes a multitude of changes in the mind that goes in an immortal body, and the spirit and soul, of soul of an immortal body, that's beyond what I can even apprehend. I can't even imagine what it's like to have the soul of a person in an immortal body. I just know what I can get out of the Word of God, the revelation that I can get. But as Paul says, I have not seen here, and neither has it entered in my mind. Just how the scope of having a soul and of being immortal is beyond all we can comprehend. It's more than we can even go to. And the more we contemplate how great it is, the more we want it. And the less you comprehend how great it is, then it makes you a casual, just kind of drift along. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just floating along. There are some people who you're floating along like driftwood. And you know what the problem is with driftwood, Brother Sturgis, Elder Sturgis? Sometimes it gets hung up in the rocks.
Yes.
Sometimes it gets washed ashore.
Yes.
It's just floating along. Yep. And as long as it stays with the current, it's good. But if anything comes, stops the current, it just gets hung up. Goes to the side, and this and that and the other. Jesus tells them then, he says to them, be of good cheer. Don't worry about it. He says, in the world you will have tribulations. But he says, I've already overcome that. So then when we talk about the world getting worse and worse, and I keep saying, and I keep saying to people, like I told you, I'm going to go October 8th, I'm going to be in homecoming in the church I grew up in. Don't be there. I'm not there to preach anything. Just be part of the family. But I keep saying to them, in the only way that I can, because they are so staunch in what they're like the Pharisees. They're so staunch in what they're in, and in and of itself, if you're buried in Fallen Run Cemetery, Fallen Run means a waterfall cemetery. You made it to heaven. And if I step up and say everybody buried over there didn't go.
That's right.
I probably get kicked out of the family. I won't get no barbecue. They won't give me any barbecue. You know? And you know, I'm not into this ancestral thing.
No.
I'm not into that at all. People, if you want to say we succeed in life on the basis of our ancestors and what they did, absolutely, because we came out of slavery, went through Reconstruction. Matter of fact, what we're going through is among Black people, at least right now, what we're actually seeing is, believe it or not, Sean just summed it up. She said, what America's in the middle of right now is a cold civil war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a cold war between countries. We're in the middle of a cold civil war. It's not a shooting war, but it is a war, and it is a civil war. And, one of the reasons why there's such a big push on to eliminate Black history is because they don't want us to be able to identify that the antithesis of the Reconstruction period, which followed the Civil War, when Black people were given great status and things to really throw mud at the South and everything, we're actually going through, and we had Black senators, and we had for the first ones right after the Civil War.
Yes.
Black people could vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then the states got busy in the South and made rules so they could stop them from voting.
Right, yes.
You know, that's where Jim Crow came in and voted. What we're actually going through right now, and this is not a political sermon, this is really about the end times, so that you'll know, depending on where you sit and how you are. People in Ukraine right now should start realizing we need God.
Yes.
We don't need more Patriot missiles. We need God. We have all these cathedrals and God is not in them.
That's always the answer.
And for us as a people, we need to start realizing now, when you start talking about you don't even want people to tell you how bad slavery was anymore, you want another lie. What you're doing is you remember after 1865 and on, they had a period. What was it called? Reconstruction.
Yes.
Reorganizing. We are vastly at this point going through deconstruction.
Yes.
You're tearing down everything that they put in place.
That's right.
After the Civil War, for everybody to be equal.
Yes.
You're seeing it. Ron DeSantis is leading the way.
Yes.
You think his idea isn't catching on in other states?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Like wildfire. And all these things happen. So why they're happening? We need to trust in God. Yes, you do. You know why? You know who's letting them happen? God is.
Yes.
He's trying to save as many people as he can. And the only way sometimes to get you to realize the danger is you have to take the cover off.
Yes.
So that you see just how much peril you're really in.
Yes.
Just how much peril you're really in. And this is the thing. The trials and tribulations and persecution in America doesn't even move the needle in God's seismic eternity compared to how bad off you're going to be when you end up in hell.
That's right. Yes.
What you go through right now in life doesn't even move the needle.
Yeah.
In comparison to what you're going to end up in hell. In time, certainly not in time, and certainly not in pain. And if you're going through right now with in America or any place in the world, how in the world, you know, are you going to make it you're not going to make it when you go to hell. And so the idea is to get you to get up and run, because it's like another scripture, you know, the old one in the Old Testament, if you can't run with the horseman.
Yes.
If you can't run with the footman, how are you going to
run with the horseman? Yes.
How are you going to do it when the horseman come?
Yes.
You read that scripture, Elder Sturgeon? Yeah. If you can't walk with the footman, how are you going to run when the horseman come? And if you can't deal with what's going on in America today, I only got about 20 more years. I hope I get 20 more years. Let me be around long enough to see Timaeus get married. And hopefully Jesus will come before that. I hope he does. But if you're younger than me and you're in your 40s, my God, you got 50 more years to go just to be 90s.
Yes.
And you think it's bad today, you're going to really need to. But be a good cheer.
Yes.
The Lord is a way maker. He will keep you.
Yes.
The Lord will keep you. And don't worry. So it's going to get so bad after a while. He won't suffer you to be go through any trial that's greater than you're able to bear.
That's what
he will not suffer you to be tempted above able to bear. That temptation is just not just temptation to sin. It means he won't let you go through a trial. Wow. See, we're not all Jobs.
No.
I am not. You are?
I have been through, yes, sir.
Well, I've been through a lot, too, but I ain't been through.
I'll tell you after.
I've been through a lot, but I'm not someone that the Lord can just turn over to and say to Satan, do your worst.
Yeah.
That ain't me. And if some people can go through more than I can, then you know what? God, whatever it is, God knows what you're able to go through.
Yes,
he does. When the tribulation comes, when it comes, he makes this point of saying, there are those of us who know when those times come, we're not surprised. And that's supposed to be us.
Yes.
As it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, we're not supposed to be surprised or act like we're going to, and that's kind of disappointing to me, to people who are really deep, and you're in such, and you get ensnared and entangled in this, You know, you it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to vote. It's another thing to just get caught up in it.
Yes.
And you really, your depth and your faith in God and your strength in God, and you let yourself get swept away. And because remember now, everybody remember, among all the things that are in the earth, such as finance, government, everything else, religion is one of them.
Yes.
And you can be caught up so much in religion. Caught up in religion. And you can be zealous in your views or whatever. You stop having compassion. You stop having compassion on people. Stop having compassion on the poor. You stop doing those things that you're supposed to do in Christ. And you get swept away like the evangelicals have been for the last few years. And you panic. And you start thinking to yourself that you can somehow fix the world yourself, which you cannot do.
No, you can't do it.
And you get beyond the point of, hey, I'm in favor of having food pantries, feeding the poor. I wish we had enough people in this church on a consistent basis to do a lot of those things. But those things won't fix everything.
No,
they just do like the Band-Aid on a cut. You know,
right.
They heal it. But trust me, if you cut yourself and you're 72 like me, when my cut heals, it heals the cells that build themselves back are also 72.
Yes.
Because if anybody found out you could skin yourself and get baby skin, they would have already figured out
right.
how to skin themselves
so,
from head to
right.
toe.
So, yeah, that's right.
It doesn't work like that. They would have already done that.
Yes.
So your skin grows back the same age that you are.
Yes.
You didn't understand
that? I heard I'm thinking about the baby, but No.
No, really. I mean, if you're 50.
No, I just think about the baby when they cut themselves before you know it, or a child.
That's right.
Boom. That skin heals fast.
And when you're 80.
I cut myself, I'm like, oh, you're going to heal.
And then it's going to keloid. And then it's going to do all this.
Rubber cocoa butter.
Because you're getting old.
Yes.
And the cells that you grow come back.
Oh.
Yes, they do. That's why. If a child, 2 or 3 year old, fall and break their arm, 2 weeks.
That's what I was saying.
Done.
Done.
That's one of my fears of falling. Now I used to not worry about it. You know, fall off the roof and doing stuff. One of my concerns now is God. It takes me forever and a day.
Yeah.
I bumped my knee on the edge of a table a few weeks ago. We were doing something. I didn't even notice it during the course of the day. By that evening, it had swollen so bad, the muscle that you use to take this foot off the gas pedal and put it on the brake, that's what it was. And every time, I mean, it was serious pain. These are the things we're going through. So we can't be among us, and Peter's telling the people, don't panic.
Yes.
That's what he's saying to them.
Yes.
You need God. Don't panic.
Yes.
Don't rush and put a whole lot of criminals in power trying to do the will of God. You're never going to do the will of God with ungodly people. They're just going to do is make you think they're going to do something godly, but I guarantee you they have an agenda.
Yes, they do.
And it ain't God. Yes, ma'am. You raise your hand?
Yes, sir. I was thinking when you were saying that, me and my best friend were talking, because it made me think about Trump. Trump made people that I did not know and people that we have been trying to minister to, made them turn to God.
He's that bad, huh?
That's
what's supposed to happen.
Exactly, that's what happened.
That's what's supposed to happen.
That's what COVID was supposed to do.
That's what COVID was supposed to do, yes. And did for some.
Yes.
But then evil people figured out how to exploit that too. Why? Because it is earth.
Yes.
Because it's the world. And nobody's going to come and completely change that until who comes?
Jesus.
He's going to do that. And that's why it's referred to as the day of
The Lord. Yes.
When the day of the Lord shall come. And he makes this point, I like it in Thessalonians. He says, but when they say, for you yourselves know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. In other words, it's going to come when people don't expect. He says, but when they say peace and safety, and I like that because that's what everybody's saying. Let's go back into the United States and build us a great wall and have peace and safety. And we're not going to let any immigrants in because All of us were born in this country, and our great, 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 great grandfathers were born in this company. Liar, you're an immigrant too.
Yes, everybody is.
That's why I don't know why everybody has to have a dash, has to be a dash American, hyphenated American, except you. Like you're not, you didn't come from someplace too.
Irish.
Well, you did.
Yes.
Matter of fact, yes. if we go far enough back, we'll even find out that Native Americans came across the Bering Strait. And they're Russian. So Russian. The Native Americans are Russian.
Yes.
That's where they came from.
Yes.
When they had the land bridge across, that's, and they went all the way down how far? All the way down to South America, to the tip of Chile.
Yes.
That's where they came in times past. But at least in this portion of the world, they were here before anybody else got here. And I don't know of any theft in my lifetime. I've known about conquest in history. I know of conquest in history. I know if you can read in the Bible of all the, I know about the Roman Empire. I know about the Greek Empire. I know about the Medo-Persian Empire. I know about the Byzantine Empire. And I know about all the different conquests throughout history and the Gauls and the Celtics and all those and name it. But I don't know of any theft that was greater than America.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just flat out right.
Thievery.
Yeah. Armed robbery.
Yes.
Yeah. Armed robbery.
Armed robbery.
On a national scale.
Yeah.
Just come in and just kill them up and take it.
Yeah.
Now, what do I mean about it? So what have we said about that? Not going to get better.
Yes.
Does everybody know what the word respite means?
Yes.
Respite means you go through, and God will come along and just give you a little bit of
rest. Break.
Yes. Before respite, you know, and whatever you're going through, he just needs to let you, okay, we need to let up for a minute. And I think the world has had theirs.
Yes.
And had an opportunity to have Christ and everything else. It gets worse from this.
Yes.
We've gone through our Pentecostal period and times when people, you know, great revivals and all those things, and we've had, because now you're even seeing great evangelical, great, you see men, at least their fathers, who were great evangelicals and brought on great revivals. You're seeing them now. You know, they've gone the way of Balaam, chasing money and fame and everything else, and they're not there. So, no. The only thing that's going to improve, the only thing that's going to improve our life is how close we get to God.
Yes.
And how much we draw into God. And this is what Peter was telling, this is what they were saying to him in that time. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. In other words, he always uses this to explain the joy that you're supposed to have, women, when the baby is born. And, you know, depending on whether you want, you know, hopefully you're happy that they're born just because they're born. Mm-hmm. And you're no longer in pain. Mm-hmm. But his point is how great the pain gets just before they're born. So you're like Chandra, you know, they're, and he's not coming fast enough, so just cut him out. Yeah. That's the way, you know, that's the point.
Yes.
Now, in the new earth, in the new world, in the, you know, when Jesus comes and we are changed and the earth is changed, then that, since that pain comes because of sin and Eve, that will be done away with in heaven. Babies will no longer be for the natural women in the new earth, which hopefully none of you will be one of. They will not have that pain.
Yes.
But he makes this point. He says that the labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. In other words, the only way you escape those pains, as I told, I've never been pregnant, but I'm told the only way you escape is if you get doped up enough. And, you know, it's the only way you get out of it. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Well, Chantra had a block until they, didn't you? Until you, so much pain, you asked for something else or whatever. Yeah. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day shall overtake you as a thief. You're sons of light. In other words, we know. That's why we can stop doing. You had Brother Negley. This is not a racist Christian education. It is a reality.
Yes.
You had all the, you had so many black people voted for Trump in the last election. Yes. And what did he do? He appointed a Supreme Court that overthrew affirmative action, is trying to overthrow civil rights, and trying mm-hmm. to overthrow the voter rights.
Right. Yes.
For the, and these, and so you voted him in. So he, and what does he do? The people who suffer the most because you elected him is you.
You. Yep.
Well, I like it from the point of view of what Jefferson said. Either Jefferson or Adams, one of them said it. People elect the government they deserve.
Yes.
People elect the government they deserve.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know. Well, but see.
I'm going to live on the island.
Oh, y'all ain't figured it out yet? I'm going to go right up here.
Say it.
Y'all ready?
Say it for the people's back.
But I'm a citizen of heaven.
Yes, that's right.
My citizenship is in
heaven.
The government that I'm under is God.
God. Yes.
I'm just here T-E-Y.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And when things a permanent change of station is right.
Yes.
And when things get bad enough, what does the government do with all the people they have in the country? They pull them
out. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Hence the rapture.
Hence the rapture.
When it gets bad enough, you know what my government's going to do?
Pull me out.
Yes.
I just got to make sure I don't change passports.
Yes.
Because I'm going to have to identify myself.
Yes.
All right. When they come.
Yes, yes.
That's the Holy Ghost. I'm going to have to be on the list of people that belong to his government.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Your name has to be in the book.
In the book. Yes.
There is a book of those who are his or his sons and daughters, and he has some books of terrorists.
Wow. Yes.
There are some other books.
Yes.
Traitors, terrorists, liars.
Yes.
The abominable, yes. Unbelieving, yes. Afraid. They're all listed in Revelation.
Yes.
But the fearful, the unbelieving, yes. The adulterers, yes. The abominable, yes. Sorcerers. You know, everybody who's into sorcery. I'm watching what Timaeus watches does on his tablets, because I'm looking at the difference between what's sci-fi and what's
sorcery, yes.
And they seem to be coming together these days. I'm really looking at that. Sorcerers and all. Everybody say A-L-L.
A-L-L.
Air one of them.
Air one of
them. All liars.
Yes.
Political liars.
All right.
Pulpit liars.
Pulpit liars.
Yes.
All liars.
Liars.
Every one of them.
Yes.
Shall have their place in the lake. And when it talks about all liars, it's not just people who tell a lie. You're a liar. You tell a lie. No, it's the people who perpetrate a lie. The people who live a lie. The people who cause a lie. The people who.
Yes. Uphold lies.
All the people who hold the truth in unbelief.
Yes.
Cause you to not believe the truth.
Yes. Yes.
As it says in Romans. That's what
it says.
In Romans it says that. You hold the truth. You hold down the truth with unbelief. You cause people not to believe the truth. All liars. Will find their place in a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. In other words, all liars will enter into an eternal hell. Eternal death.
Yes.
That's where you're going. So as this gets worse and worse, I'm looking at how people are, you know, because the thing about the devil is, and it talks about him too. God, he talked about this too. Talks about how he deceived the nations. Find that real quick, Sean. He deceived the nations. Another one talks about him being armed, putting on the full armor of God, so that we know his devices.
Yes.
And a lot of us don't know the devil's devices, his ways. He
He's got ways. And he deceives the nation. He shows up as an angel of light. In other words, he shows up in places seeming like it's the right thing to do. An angel of light means he shows up as someone who's saying the right thing and doing the right thing. And and it doesn't matter, and the devil will use anybody and anything. I was reading also, in Peter it says, the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, I'm in 2 Peter right now, 3 and 10. Mm-hmm. Since all these things will be dissolved. And I think I better turn on my Bible and also show you King James, because right now I'm reading the New King James. And somebody will say, well, you know, did it say that in King James?
Revelation 20, I think is what you're talking about.
Okay. Revelation 20, she says.
And he cast them into the bottomless
pit.
Yes.
Is that what it says? What are you saying, Elder Rogers?
Revelation 27 and 8.
Yeah, that's where she is. What does it say?
Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations,
mm-hmm,
which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
The next one is my favorite verse.
The devil who deceived them,
mm-hmm,
was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Yeah, the devil that deceived them. Huh. Wow, he's something in there.
Yes, he is.
But the day of the Lord, he deceives us, and that's what if you're a deceptive person, you know, you also fall under the category of being a liar.
Right.
You make me believe something other than what is true.
Right.
Yes.
Manipulators.
Yes.
You fall under the category. You're always manipulating people. You know.
Yes.
Think you're so smart. Well, I know. I can fix this. And watch this. You fall in the category of being a
liar.
Yeah. Because you cause people to believe or react to something that really isn't there. You are false.
Yes.
You're false in what you do. I like, and Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away. I'm in King James. So pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, 2 Peter 3:10-14, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Therefore, since all these things be dissolved, what manner of person you ought to be in a holy conduct and godliness? In other words, this is the thing about God. God is absolute. God doesn't miss stuff. Does everybody understand me? God doesn't miss anything. Even when they developed penicillin, it didn't kill all infections, all germs, just 90% of them, 99% of them, most of them. Not all of them, most of them. So then somebody came back and said, now we have a strain of bacteria that's stronger than penicillin. And it has morphed into it. And now it eats the penicillin. Not true. The penicillin never killed it to start with.
Right.
By killing off the other 90%, it allowed it to thrive.
Right, yes.
So now you have bacteria the penicillin doesn't kill because it killed off all it kills. You allowed it to thrive.
Right. Yes.
So now, got to come up with something else. God doesn't miss anything.
Yeah. Yes.
So that when he sets up his kingdom, some little something somewhere else is going to pop out from someplace else and grow, and he's going to have another fire he's going to have to put out. No. He's going to get everything.
Yes.
So when it comes down to it, this is why everybody say thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood.
You never be clean on enough otherwise.
All right. Yes.
You never be clean enough otherwise. So God forgives you to an extent. And I'm gonna add this to an extent.
Yes.
He forgives you to the extent that you're willing to ask him to forgive you.
Yes.
To the extent that he is able to make you aware of what you need to be forgiven of.
Yes.
He forgives you.
Yes.
You'd never otherwise be able to make it in. That's why being in God is not a game that you should play.
No.
You are scarcely, as Peter says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. And I see people playing around with God all the time. I'm in God. I'm good. I'm good. I'm in God. I'm good. Your only forgiveness, the only way you are clean, you're set free from the power of sin that you were born in by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You died with him because death is the only remedy for sin. There's no remedy. There's no cure.
Cure, yes.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Die, yes.
Death is the only remedy. So Christ dies, which takes the power of God not only for him to do it, but the power of God to impute it, to give it to me, to let this death effectively be, realistically, not in word only. And it's not something that I'm making happen. It's something that God causes to happen through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's what God does. It's not what I do. It's what God does. Which is another thing I think some people think. I think some people think that simply they, since you have confessed Jesus Christ and made him your Lord and Savior, you have done something. You haven't done anything. You just
confessed.
And if you're saved, God did the work.
Yes.
And you can tell the difference, because when someone is genuinely saved and God comes in and does the work, the Holy Ghost comes in and you have this lingering move of the Spirit that when you get wrong, he tells you. And if you don't sense that, you just feel good about having made a confession and joining the church and all of us who are there, but you don't sense how where the wrongness, and you don't sense the freedom that comes from being saved.
Yes.
You can almost float off your feet.
Yes.
You don't sense that freedom so that you're concerned about losing it. Which you can do.
Yes.
It takes sooner and the more and so the devil likes to keep people from coming to Christian education, and when they come he likes for preachers to just work around salvation and everything. Don't talk about that. Just keep me happy. Mm-hmm. Keep me feeling good about myself. Just keep motivating me. Mm-hmm. And never remind me now. Don't you dare stand up and tell me that I'm going to hell.
No.
How do you figure that? You don't know my mind. You don't know where I am in God. I have the Holy Spirit, and I could be wrong about a lot of things, but there's certain qualifiers and characteristics. Don't you realize that while you live right now, you're qualifying. You're in a qualifying round.
Yes.
You're qualifying
yes.
for everlasting life. This life is qualifying you.
Yes.
God is qualifying you for everlasting life.
Yes.
If you don't qualify in this round, you don't get another one.
No. Amen.
Once you stop breathing, the trial is over.
Yes.
Probation is over.
Yes.
You've been qualified.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
I'm disqualified.
So then he, by his grace, he gives us death.
Yes.
Gives us that.
Yes.
So God gives us that.
Yes.
He gives us the death that we need in order to be free from sin. He gives, we have to die. There's no other way. Gives us that space, that separation, that burial between the old life and new life. Gives us that.
Yes.
And he gives us new life. Gives us new life. Gives us new life. He does that. It's like if you're getting ready to fall out of a plane, and at the last minute, by the door, somebody said, "Hey, here's a parachute. You're gonna need that."
Yeah.
And God says, in order for you to have eternal life, you're going to need this. And he gives it to you.
Yes.
If you ask, you ask for it, can I have eternal life? He gives it to you. Then, since he knows the ravages of being born in sin in this body, you're never going to get to a point in this body where you live perfectly.
Right, yes.
Although, everybody say although.
Although.
There is a level of perfection that God will not let you get away with.
Yes.
There are some things that God calls presumptuous sins.
Yes.
That's the sin that you do. Yes. It's like when you go in your house and catch your 15-year-old child scribbling with crayons on the wall. You know better than that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If you were 2, I'd let you get away with it, but not at 15.
No.
It's like when you come in and they're lined up and your 18-year-old child is selling dope out the window. Like that. You got to go.
You got to go.
You know, it's like when you tell the 16-year-old daughter, 14-year-old daughter, no, you need to be in this house by 12, and she turns to you and says, you don't tell me what to do. We have a problem.
Yeah.
That's right. God is like that. God will let you get away with a lot of things and let you continue, and he'll get you around to saying, I'm sorry.
Yes.
But when you stand up and tell God, hey, look, I'm going to heaven like I want to go. You don't tell me how to come to heaven.
Yes, that's right.
You know, you tell me, I need to be in worship and I need to be in the Lord. I don't see why. You're everywhere. Don't you hear me when I'm talking to you? Why I need to show up here?
Yeah, that's right.
People do it all the time.
All the time. Yes, they do.
And you tell God, hey, Lord, I thank you for saving me. I appreciate it. But, Wednesday night is still my club night.
Yeah.
And I don't see a problem with it. So you don't see a problem? No, everybody in the club go to church. We all go.
They go on Zoom.
or when God says, like in Ezekiel, he sends the watchman in one place, he says to the man of God in another place, to say to you, you know what? You need to come out of what you're in.
Amen.
And you tell him, hey, no, don't come. Hey, lighten up. Lighten up. We don't need to hear all that.
Yeah.
You're not talking back to me.
You're talking
to the person who sent me.
God, yes.
You aren't. I didn't come up with my own. I didn't come up with that.
God,
you're not talking back. You're not talking to me.
Yes.
You're telling the person who
sent me. Yes.
So how valuable is that? Well, we went over Friday night. I'll tell you how valuable it is. Out of all of Jericho, only Rahab had sense enough to realize, you know what? Their God is God.
Yes.
And she and her family were the only ones saved. She was a saving grace, and she took the rest of them with her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And everybody else, although they heard of how great God was, talking about this Friday night program, they still wouldn't follow
him. That's right.
And they I love the other one, Ella Smith. The Lord said to me, How long is there anybody in here like the Syrophoenician woman who came and asked Jesus to cast the devil out of her daughter? Anybody in here like that? Had great faith, asked the Lord to
do something
for her daughter?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to make the confession that she made? She said, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And Jesus saved her daughter, lifted her up, told her, great faith, you recognize I'm the Son of God? Mm-hmm. How many people that are still willing to be dogs, though?
Yes.
Long as the blessing keeps falling,
yes,
they never come and acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. She said, even the dogs that don't belong to the family, they get some blessings. Some people get blessed just because you work in their office. Some people get blessed because they helped you out, you know, fixed your tire. Some people get blessed because they know you. Some of you're everywhere people of God go, we bless people. We do. We bless people.
Yes, right.
There's a blessing because it says, I'll bless those that bless you.
Yes.
People are blessed.
Yes.
For those of us who live holy, now those who say they're in church and live unholy, you're not a blessing to anybody.
That's right.
But the people who God is using, and you're a blessing. You, if you, there's a reason why the person always comes and works on my air conditioner. I tell them, I say, well, you know, if you don't have time, I'll just call somebody else. I'll be down there this afternoon. Because since the time we have worked with him, he has doubled and tripled. And he's like Potiphar.
Yes.
When I was in Germany, the man who had the building that we rented, when we rented, he was a little nobody. By the time we left, the man owned a great big, owned a TA truck stop. You know TA?
Yes.
Wow.
And several restaurants. One in Frankfurt, one right next to the truck stop. And he just, boom.
Boom, yes.
And he was honest about it. He said, y'all are my blessing.
Yes.
Wouldn't be saved. He said, oh, I have... You're the blessing. You're the blessing. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that wouldn't be saved, but, but they blessed the Potiphar, never got saved, neither did Pharaoh.
Yes.
And Joseph saved Egypt, not just his own. So you got all these people who don't want to be any more closer to God than they have to be.
Right.
And if you're not careful, they're siphoning you off.
Yes, yes.
You're not careful.
Yes.
Because God doesn't miss anything.
Yes. No, nothing.
There's nothing you do that God doesn't know about.
Yep, that's what he says.
Last scripture today, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I think we're probably done for this morning altogether. This is long.
This is good, Dad.
2 Corinthians, 5th chapter.
Yeah.
I think it is. I'm looking at the one, the 2 Corinthians, the one, the word is sharp and two-edged sword.
Well, that's in Hebrews.
Is that Hebrews?
Yes.
Oh, well, forgive me. Y'all know how it is. Hebrews, chapter who?
Five.
Okay, well, I knew it was 5th chapter then. Hebrews chapter
4 and 12,
she said.
Okay.
Hebrews 4 and 12. Okay, there we are. Thank you, Elder Rogers. For the word of God is quick or living. Quick meaning not fast, but you know, in the Bible when it says the quick, which is the quick, it refers to the living.
Yes.
You have thee quickened. You have thee brought alive.
Yes.
We don't use quickened in that regard these days. You have to be brought alive.
Yes.
For the word of God is living and powerful. Find it, so make sure I've got say Hebrews, what, 4?
4 and 12.
12. Make sure I'm reading them both so I have it all up. Yeah, there you go. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder, piercing even to the dividing of son of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the word of God is such that it tells the difference between my flesh and my spirit.
Yes.
And when I'm preaching, it tells the difference between my flesh and my spirit. And when you grow in spirit enough, you can tell when somebody's preaching, whether they're preaching out of their flesh or out of the spirit. And they can, and because we're not perfect, sometimes we go in and out.
That's true.
You know, good preachers, you go in and out.
Yeah.
You're preaching in the spirit for a while. You preach too long, you get in the flesh.
You get too long, you get in the flesh.
You can be preaching in the spirit, and you can hit your pet peeve, which is why I'm concerned about my friend. You can hit your pet peeve and slide right on over into the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you don't like a certain thing, you can slide right on over into the flesh. And God doesn't like it either, but you're no longer talking in the spirit, you're in the flesh. So, well, Bishop, how do you know the difference? Depends on whether when you're preaching, what you're preaching is building or tearing up. Is it edifying or corrupting?
Corrupting.
Then you know. We're talking about the same thing. But is it building up the kingdom of God and glorifying God, or are you tearing up things because it's coming out of you?
Right.
And yes, it's, if you're talking about an abomination, it is abominable. But the Spirit has a way of talking about it in such a way that if there's anybody in the crowd, they can be lifted out of it. Mm-hmm. When you go into it, you not only tear down the people who are in it, you tear down a lot of people and make them feel guilty who are not even doing it.
Killing us.
And you just slid into the flesh. You have a flesh flash.
That's right.
Flesh flash. Mm-hmm.
All right.
But now,
we did at the workshop. Didn't we?
Well, you have to credit Madeline Phillips for that.
She did that. Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
And, you, and all of a sudden you were preaching well, but now you're angry. Yeah. I have seen them, and this is where rebukes come in. Now you're angry, and you think you have righteous indignation, and you don't. You're like Moses. God told you to get up there and give me some water. And by the time you got there, you got mad. I'm going to give you some water, but I'm going to tell you about yourself.
Yeah.
And God did not
like
it.
And that's what it says.
I'm going to give you. Moses told him, God told me to give you some water. Here's your water, you rebels.
Right. Yeah.
God, that last part did not come from God. He wanted them encouraged.
Too much punctuation.
They knew they were wrong.
But here's your water.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah. He says, able to divide us under soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. So that Peter says that when this horrible time comes, everybody else is starting to run around like chickens with their heads cut off, and the world's getting worse, like they didn't know it was going to be.
Yes.
And for us, we already know that.
We already know it.
Yes.
And we're not looking for a hiding place. We have one.
Yes.
We're in the shadow of the Almighty. And what we're doing is we're watching and praying. And since in the flesh we can't watch everywhere and be everywhere, so we need the Spirit. Even more than before. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, you can't hide anything from God.
That's right.
Yep, all things are open and naked. That's right.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Naked and open to the eyes of him of whom we must give an account. That's why it is so silly to try and play a game with God, because you know you can fool us, but you cannot fool God. And you don't get away with anything. Either you've had your sins forgiven
or not. Yes.
It's that simple. Either you're going forward in God or not.
No, not.
Let all those that call the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Either you're doing it or
not.
And if you stop your ears because you don't want to hear it like they did with Stephen and start going, yeah, you know how you make noise yourself to keep from hearing it? It doesn't stop God.
Not. Yes.
And when it says in the Word of God, Isaiah says, he says that people have a hard time, but he said, the Lord said, I'll give them ears that are dull of hearing and eyes that they cannot see. What he meant by that, he says, with my word, it's going to cause some of them to decide they don't want to hear. And some of them, he says, when they hear my word, instead of them saying, thank you, Jesus, and I see, some of them, it's going to make some of them say, I don't want to see. Because of my word, many of them are going to stop listening to you.
Yes.
And because of my word, many of them are going to stop wanting to see what I'm trying to tell them. Yes. They're going to shut up their ears and shut up their eyes. And they're going to get this mindset that won't let them understand. And believe it or not, in Romans, the first chapter, one of the sins in there is without understanding. People who just won't try to understand. Just keep on going.
Yep.
So then, I'm finishing now because this is long. Nothing you do, since we're qualifying, right?
Yes.
Qualifying. Everything we do is either under the blood or not.
Yes.
You got that right.
Yes.
Once being saved among us, because God goes through all this, God does all this work to save me.
Yeah, working long and hard.
Paul writes, he says, it is evident. Christ has suffered and has died and been resurrected, and the love of God constraineth us that if all died for one, then all of us were dead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One died for all, then all of us were dead.
Yes.
Having done that to save me, then he provides a safety.
Yes.
Couple of safeties. What are the safeties? He gives me the Word of God to instruct me. He gives me the Holy Spirit of God to give me both the revelation and the interpretation of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
He also serves as a reminder who takes up residence within me and speaks directly to my conscience. Even in times when he doesn't have time to explain the Word to me, he makes me know that what I'm doing is not right.
Right.
And later on, if I'm someone who's really a citizen of heaven, and I give him time, he'll get me around to where the Word of God will make it very clear.
Convict you.
But the conviction comes.
Yeah.
That's why we like to stumble around sometimes when we're getting ready to do something and the Spirit says you ought not do that. Then we search for a lie. We try to figure out how to explain to God and get around to doing it without feeling guilty for doing it when the Spirit has said it was wrong to start with.
Right. Yes.
So we want to qualify it, modify it, mitigate it, do something with it that makes God say, okay, I guess you're all right. Balaam.
Plead your case.
You want to fix it so that God will say, okay.
You can do that.
Yeah.
I can work.
But God has not forgotten you, Balaam.
Yeah.
And so death is going to meet you in the middle of the road one more time to see if he can keep you from doing it, Balaam. And if you insist you're going to do it anyway, Balaam, although you go down there and you give the Word of God, Balaam, you didn't go and do what God wanted you to do, Balaam, and it doesn't save you.
Yes.
Oh, Bishop, you know, I know you said that not to do such and such, but while I was there, I got a chance to tell several people about the Lord. But you didn't do what God wanted you doing where God wanted you to
do it. Yes.
And God never came back to you and said to you, oh, all sin is forgiven. Because you did not obey
God.
And when he comes back to it, you need to say, well, I thank the Lord for working it out, but next time, I need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to mess around and run into a lion.
And a bear.
Yes, you are. And your carcass is going to lay in the street.
Amen.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, let me finish this. So we start off talking about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord represents when God comes and starts his final purging, cleaning, turnaround of the earth. And even though it starts at the second advent and it goes on during the millennium, because in the millennium, during the millennium, although we will be raptured, we'll be changed, and we'll come back in about 7 years, start the second advent, in the millennium, God is still giving the people in earth an opportunity not to be lost forever. They can't be, they're not going to be changed from mortal to immortal like we are, but they're going to live since death is put away in the earth, and they're going to continue to repopulate the earth and the universe. Remember when Satan fell, he didn't just fall for earth, it wasn't just the earth that fell, the universe fell. One third of all the angels fell with Satan. All those planets and places they ruled over fell.
Nice.
They fell.
Yes.
They sided with the devil. When you side with the devil, you're falling.
Oh, yes.
Anytime you side with the devil, you're falling too.
Yes.
Anytime you choose the devil over God, you're doing like, that's why Peter smacked the Jews. He says, you chose a murderer and forsook the Holy One.
Yes.
So you could have chosen the Holy One when they were asking you about Jesus, and you chose a murderer in his stead. And that's what touched them to their heart. So they said, we need to repent. We need to be saved. Pricked them to their heart. We're going to prick you to yours.
All right. Yeah.
For all the things that we do, there's nothing hidden from him. He not only knows what you do, but when it talks about him being able to see soul and spirit, he knows your motive.
Yes.
This is something else about God. He knows your motive.
You got that right.
Yes. He knows what you love.
You got that right.
Looks into your emotions. He knows what you love.
Yes.
That's why the Holy Spirit tries so hard to get you to love God. You can't serve God without loving him. When he comes, he gives the love of God so that you'll have God, love God with. And so that you will know the love of God is twofold. When it says the Holy Ghost, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost and our spirit. There's two things. One of them is he gives us the love that we don't have.
Yes.
And the other one is he causes us to know how much he loves us. Both of those. So the day of the Lord, as Peter says, when that time comes for all of us, I'm not saying don't go vote. I'm certainly not telling you who to vote for. But vote knowing that you're just doing civic duty. You're not doing the work of the Lord.
No.
Don't vote saying, you know, I'm voting for God. You're doing the portion that it says in Jeremiah when he tells you, you know, he says take part in the civic duties and everything, and you're supposed to be that honor the king. In other words, when he said honor the king, he don't mean honor the king like he's God. He means don't disrespect the king.
Yes.
And since you've got this one party that has no respect for anybody. And you even fly around with flags and disgusting foul language, then how can you be godly at the same time?
You're not.
And then if you say to yourself, well, I don't go along with them doing that, but this, no, he that joins himself to a harlot becomes a harlot himself.
Right.
You join yourself to that, that's what you become.
Yes.
You take that on, that's what you become.
Yes.
It is you become a part of it. If you support, that's what you're supporting. So, everybody standing. The day of the Lord. Time when God starts fixing stuff. Everybody say, fixing stuff.
Fixing stuff.
Yeah. Aren't y'all ready for him to fix it?
Yes, I am.
Everybody clear up here? Yes, I'm ready for him to fix it.
Yes.
The day of the Lord. I'm not like these people say, well, I sure am glad Jesus didn't come today. Not me.
Not me.
If you mess around, you are not ready for Jesus to come. That is your problem.
You better stay ready.
That's right. Better stay ready. Yes. Not me. As much as we preach and teach, and watchmen, watchmen, you're so busy building up your fortress and your organization, you're this and you're that, you stop preaching the gospel and telling people they need to get it right, you have a problem. We must encourage people.
Yes.
If you have faith in God, be more faithful.
Be more faithful, yes.
If you pray, pray more.
Yes.
If you worship, worship more.
Yes.
So what am I giving? Give up more of you. Give up more of you. Give up more of you.
Yes.
You're going to need it.
Yes.
You're going to need all of you. It's going to get worse and worse. You're going to need as much God as you can have.
Right.
Yes. Yes, you are. But you and yours and all, you know, I like the scripture that says if we ask God touching anything, and I know they take the scripture out of context and they want to touch and agree and do all that. That's not what it's saying. It's saying concerning anything, touching anything. You know, if you ask God concerning anything, but I like the word touch and a prayer that I pray. That I encourage you to pray. I think it's a good one. You need to ask God to bless anything you touch.
Right. Yes.
Whatever bless whatever touches me.
Yes.
That's the people I work with, the family, the friends, the children, everyone. If it's deals with me, I want it blessed.
Yes.
And if it deals with me, I want the devil out of it.
Amen.
If it deals with me, I want the devil
out of
it. And I want the Lord to bless me. And whatever I touch, whatever touches me, and I'm not talking about Midas touch, everything I touch is going to prosper. No, because everything I touch has to prosper. But I want the Lord to bless whatever I... If you know me, I want you blessed. If you know me, I want you blessed. So what if you've done me wrong? I want you even more blessed because you need to get right. Nothing I know makes the devil madder than when somebody who's evil turns to be righteous. I know of no better way of getting even with the devil than to turn somebody from wickedness to righteousness. Than to pray for somebody who's despiteful and evil and everything else and have them turn around. The best thing that happened to Donald Trump is if he would really be saved. But he's surrounded by all these lying prophets, so
they definitely lying prophets.
Yes.
How would he ever
get right, yes.
So for all them to proclaim him, you know this. Yeah. Father, we come before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, put this on CNN, I guess. No, I don't need to be on all that. The Lord knows the scope of who I need to speak to. Father, we come before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your great grace which you have wrought through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the people of God, those who stand in the house of God today, those who are among us, Lord, by whatever medium they're with, Lord. All those who call upon the name of Christ today, Lord, and whatever congregation they're in, those, Lord, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, Lord, those of whom whose names you know. Lord, today, Lord, I ask you to bless every one of us and bless all that we touch.
Yeah.
Lord, heal those that need to be healed, oh God. Thank you so much for touching Elder Rogers' mother.
Yeah.
Thank you for touching the McNeil baby and for all those we were praying for, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your attention being thrown to them, Lord. And Lord, it was a small thing for you to do, but Lord, it was a great thing for us. And we thank you so much, oh God. Lord, we ask you to continue to move among us, oh God, for we have many needs. And Lord, we are content to ask you, Lord, to provide for us, Lord, that you fill our longing souls. Lord, we'll reach and ask and for no other God. For Lord, there is no other God like unto thee. Lord, there is no power like your power. Lord, there is no Savior but our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, there is no Spirit. Lord, no, but the Holy Spirit. We'll have no other Spirit dwelling in us. Lord, all of the gods are lies and they're false, oh God. We'll have nothing to do with them. Lord, we ask you to come in today, Lord, and bless us. Lift us up, oh God. And Lord, touch every person who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And every preacher who's called to preach, Lord, give them a mind, Lord, to be a watchman, Lord, that will warn men and women, Lord, to come out of the fire, oh God. Draw them out, oh Lord. And all those, Lord, that the devil is trying to deceive, Lord, turn them around. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let there be no Balaams among us, oh God. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless this church and bless this congregation, bless this jurisdiction. Lord, bless the church of the living God. Lord, I pray, Lord, turn us into your way. Lord, we will do all things according to your will and your way, oh God. Lord, that we'll glorify your name. And Lord, heal all those, Lord, in the sound of my voice, Lord, make them all way whole and cause them to know that the Lord has done it and it is great in your sight. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. I will not be on, we will not be on Zoom on Tuesday night because I'm going to be on vacation in Orlando. And I have gone on vacation and promised I'd still be on Tuesday night and then it just didn't happen. So I'm not going to be on Tuesday night. And Friday night, ask Elder Russell, you know, everybody who would come to Friday night service, come up with Elder Russell on Friday night on Zoom. But we will be back on Sunday. I'll say that again. Sunday morning, matter of fact, we get back on Friday. I just don't know if we get back. I doubt we get back Friday early enough to have service Friday night, but we will be back on Friday. So Sunday will continue as it is. And I think where I'm going on Sunday, though, I'm pretty sure that we're going to go into the book of Romans from here. And I'll pick that up. And Romans is a tremendous book. It is a book that teaches people
on salvation and how we're saved and why we're saved.
Yes.
And from there, we span out to many other books.
Amen.
The other book that I really want to go into, though, that I think I'm going to go into later on after Romans, is I'm going to do something I haven't seen us do in a long time. I'm going to go into the Gospels.
Yes.
Because everybody likes to teach out of Acts. They won't stay in Corinthians. They won't stay in Ephesians. All those are great. They want to, and then you have people who just love 1st and 2nd Timothy. They just can't get out of 1st and 2nd Timothy. I love 1st and 2nd Timothy, but 1st and 2nd Timothy deals more so with people who are strong in the Lord, who have been called, and especially ministers and preachers, than it does with discipling people who just got saved yesterday. There are some books that are given more so to elders and preachers and pastors and building those up, and because all the books are there, they do different things. And in this church, what we really need to work on, as I see it, is we need to work on getting people saved and discipled.
Yes.
And that's what I'm really looking at. I'm looking at the people that we have here and where you are in God. We are not just supposed to sit here and expound to each other. We have a perfect quorum.
Yes.
To disciple people, you know, not just get them saved, but to teach them the word of God. Everybody wants to teach people holiness, the do's and don'ts. Holiness extends from Christ.
Yes.
They need to know Christ to know what holiness
is. Yes.
Christ is holiness personified, literally. He is the word.
Yes, right.
So if you really want people to grow holy, don't jump from being saved to telling you what you can't do. Now you need to go home, change this. You're not going to be able to change anything. You have to change it up now. Unless the Holy Ghost really moves and you start to move in it, you need the word of God, and then you can go forward.
Yes.
So I'm a firm believer that our foundation is Jesus Christ, and how can you have a strong foundation if you never talk about Him? How is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know the life of Christ, you're building on a foundation that you don't know anything about. So we're going to look at going there for Christian education. That won't be the only thing I teach at least, but that will be the series of Christian education and getting people back to knowing what they're supposed to do.